This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow. Sarah Foster opened Foster's Market in Durham more than 25 years ago. It's a gourmet restaurant and store that was the first of its kind in the Triangle. And in many ways, Sarah was destined to open this kind of place. As a young kid, she loved her grandfather's small country store in Tennessee. And she also delighted in being out in the garden with her grandmother, picking fresh vegetables and figuring out whether they should be frozen or canned or pickled. When she was in her 20s, she decided to make cooking her full-time job. Went to culinary school in New York, juggled multiple gigs at restaurants and catering companies, and serendipitously landed a job as Martha Stewart's chef. Eventually, she decided to build something of her own. And in May of 1990, she opened Foster's Market. Her new cookbook, Foster's Market Favorites, captures 25 years of the market, and she joins me now. Sarah Foster, welcome back to The State of Things. Good to have you here.
Thank you, Frank. It's great to be here.
Take us back to those early years, to your grandfather's country store. Yeah.
Well, he had a great country store that was really just kind of an old, dilapidated building that had a wood burning stove in the back, and you know, guys would sit around and play checkers all day. But he was in this little small town, Adair, Tennessee, and it was really, I guess, like the convenience store of its time. It's where, you know, the people that were farmers and lived in the country could come in and get milk and bread and just kind of staples, you know, so they wouldn't have to drive to the big city of Jackson, Tennessee, where I grew up.
So you have that memory, and then the garden, too, walking around with your grandmother, looking at the fresh vegetables.
Yeah, my grandparents lived on a huge farm, and my parents had a garden, too, but my grandparents really had a huge garden, and most of their summer was spent growing and picking and preserving vegetables, really, for year-round for the winter until next summer came when they planted the garden and started the process all over again.
Now, you look back fondly on all of that now. However, you did leave for New York. So I'm not sure what you were thinking in the moment.
Well, I feel it's kind of the way we all eat today. I feel like we've all kind of come full circle, yeah. You know. We're all kind of getting back to that homegrown garden goodness, everything fresh from the farmer's market. And I feel like, you know, we kind of got away from that for a while, you know. It was kind of trendy to eat TV dinners and takeout and a lot of fast food, but right. I really feel like that people now are more interested in growing their food if they have the space, or at least knowing where their food is coming from.
Well, when did you first get interested in cooking food professionally?
I got interested in cooking professionally during the 1980 Olympics. I was living in Lake Placid, and I worked with a woman from France. And she really just cooked and prepared food the way I had never seen it prepared before. Something as simple as a roasted pepper. I mean, I grew up on pretty traditional Southern food where my grandmother cooked the green beans for hours. And I can remember the first time I had a roasted pepper. And, you know, I grew up eating peppers every imaginable way you can possibly imagine, you know, cooking them. But I had never had a roasted pepper before. And it was just, it really just made me want to learn more about cooking and more about food.
You went to culinary school in New York?
Yeah, I went to cooking school in New York, and then I worked at restaurants and with caterers in New York. I worked at a great restaurant called the Soho Charcuterie, and I had a job there where I made salads and pâtés, and I think it really helped me. It helped me be the cook that I am today, because my first job, and I was horrified when I had it, but I would have to go in the walk-in cooler every day and see what vegetables needed to be used and come up with about 12 or 15 different salads.
Wow.
So it really kind of forced me to be creative, and I feel like I still do that a lot today. I'm one of those cooks that can go to the refrigerator and there looks like there's nothing there to cook, but I can come out with great things.
Well, you got to be creative, but if you're the one who also has to chop and clean and put it in the bowls, you also have to pay attention to the details and just kind of stick with the drudgery, too.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
how about the pâtés? I don't even want to ask about doing that 24 hours a day.
That was really fun, too. I learned an incredible amount, and we had this great meat market down the street from the charcuterie called Otto Minelli. I think it's still there. It's in New York on Bleecker Street. And the guy would literally bring the rabbits in every day, and they would still be hopping from, you know, where he had just cut their heads off. They were so fresh. So I learned a lot about butchering. And
Sarah Foster and the Hopping Headless Rabbits, which is, I think, the title of your next book. But we'll stick with your market favorites here. So tell us about meeting Martha Stewart. How'd you meet her?
So I met Martha through a friend of mine that had told me Martha was looking for a chef, that her chef for her catering business had just left. And I called her. I had just left New York. My husband and I were living in Connecticut, but I was still working in New York. And I was getting kind of tired of the commute. And so Marjorie, my friend, said, well, call Martha. I think she's looking for a chef. And this was before Martha became Martha. She still had a catering business in Westport, Connecticut. And I called her and, you know, told her that I was looking for a job, et cetera, you know, that I didn't want to commute to New York anymore. And she said, well, come up and cook dinner for me and my husband and, you know, we'll talk. And long story short, I ended up getting the job and worked for her as the chef in her catering business for about 8 years. And it was really great. I mean, we had a beautiful kitchen at her home in Westport, and she actually worked in the kitchen with us. She was our baker, so she made all the wedding cakes
and all the centerpieces and everything, right? I
mean, yeah,
she really did that stuff.
Yeah, she really did everything. Yeah. I mean, she would do all the flowers. We would do huge weddings and really big parties in New York. Sometimes we served thousands of people at Sotheby's or at the Cooper Hewitt Museum. So it was really fun.
Well, and then eventually you did work for her for a while. She got too busy to stay active in that, and you kind of took it over for her, more or less? Or
well, she decided to close her catering business. I had quit working for her several months before, and because I really wanted to start my own business. And soon after that, she closed her business and referred a lot of her clients to me, which really helped my business take off. And they were people that I had been working for anyway. So she's always been very supportive of my business and, you know, wanting me to go out on my own.
Well, sounds like things were going pretty well. What made you decide to move to North Carolina?
Just looking for, you know, a simpler, different life. I don't know that opening Foster's was really a more simple life for me, but my husband and I had horses, and we wanted to move somewhere where we could have our horses on our property. And I kind of had an idea about the business I wanted to do with Foster's Market, and did some demographic research and had come here and visited this area and really liked it. And I loved what was going on here, you know, then. I felt like that there was an interest in good food because there were some really good restaurants here, and the farmers markets were amazing even back then.
And we're talking about 1990, right?
Yeah, 1989 and 1990. Yeah. But I was really impressed with the Carborough's Farmers Market. Right. We didn't have the Durham Market then, but I was amazed at, you know, what the farmers were growing, and that there was a kind of a whole new generation of farmers. You know, there were younger farmers just growing really great things. I remember driving down 15501 one fall day, and Betsy Hitt was out there with her pumpkin stand, and I had never seen so many varieties of pumpkins, and it kind of sealed the deal. I'm like, okay, this is it. We're doing this.
What about your vision for the store? For those of you who haven't been there, it's a country store and a restaurant. And I don't know what kind of models were available to you, how much of that was going on in 89, 90, and when that vision occurred to you. Is that what you wanted to do right off the bat?
It was. There was some stores in Connecticut called Heyday Markets, and they were kind of similar to Foster's Market on a larger scale and really more of a market than a cafe, which I feel like Foster's has kind of evolved into that over the years. But Heyday Market was kind of my model. And it was just this great little store that did a lot of takeout, and they had really good products, you know, gourmet products like coffees and teas and jams and jellies and fresh produce and really a lot of seasonal things. Because that was kind of my idea. When I opened Foster's.
How was it received initially? How'd you do when you started?
Oh, my goodness. It was kind of scary the first couple of weeks we were open because the building that we're in had been a lawnmower repair place for about 25 years, and we opened in May. So people would pull in the driveway with their lawnmowers to be repaired and see that it was no longer a lawnmower repair place, and then they would kind of pull out. And so we were like, is anyone ever going to come in? So
if you do the analytics on this, it turns out a lot of people who are looking to get their lawnmowers fixed also want a scone. So now that I talk about the scones, there's a story about the Foster scones, aren't there?
Yeah. So when I worked for Martha, we had this wonderful woman named Doreen Lee Parker. And for those of you that are younger, you might not know who Doreen Lee Parker was, but she was the original Revlon fire and ice lady in the 50s. And we made a lot of scones, and I learned to make scones from Doreen. And to me, they were kind of just like a sweet biscuit, you know. It's like, what's the big deal with a scone? Yeah. But when I first opened Foster's, we started making scones and have been making them every day since for 25 years. It's scary to think how many thousands or hundred thousands of them we've probably made.
Well, and in that time, this is the 25th anniversary of Foster's, and I'm talking with Sarah Foster today, and the state of things in the book to mark that is Foster's Market Favorites. What are some of your favorites in here, and how did you select them?
Well, this, like you said, this is our 25th anniversary collection. So the book is kind of designed in the way we go through the day at Foster's. And this is really a collection of some of our recipes that we have been making for 25 years, like our scones and our tarragon chicken salad, but also a lot of new things. There are a lot of great salads and soup recipes in here. I feel like none of us were eating kale as much as we do today, 25 years ago. And there's some really great recipes in here that use kale, and a lot of really good soup recipes and desserts. My mom's bread pudding's in here, which is one of my favorites. And there's a whole chapter on one-pot meals. The ginger chicken stew is really a great meal. I love those meals where you can just put everything in one pot and just sit down and have a delicious...
And have it turn out right. Well, now, you've brought some goodies here, and I don't know, these are all...
Are the cheese crisps. So they're kind of my version of a cheese straw. Uh-huh. So they're nice and crispy. You make them in a log, kind of like you do a cookie dough. They're really easy to make, and then you can slice them off and bake them. So they have a little bit of crushed red pepper flakes in them and a little bit of sesame seeds.
Looks like a cookie, tastes like a cheese straw.
Mm-hmm. They're savory.
These are really pretty good. Are you going to tell me how to make those in this book?
Good. They're in the snacks chapter, and they're really easy to make. They freeze really well, and they're the kind of thing that you can pop out of your freezer and slice off and bake if you have unexpected guests show up. They're a great thing to make this time of year.
Oh, that's nice. Yeah, you think about a couple of rolls in the freezer and pull them out. I've got some giant cookies here.
And those are Martha's peanut butter chocolate chip oatmeal cookies.
No kale. Too bad.
It's everything, though, that you love in a cookie. Peanuts, chocolate chips.
Oh, my goodness.
And this is one of those recipes that we made when I worked for Martha. And it's one of our most popular ones at Foster's.
How does that work when you work for somebody like that? Can you take her recipes?
Yeah. I think, you know, everyone shares recipes today. So we give her total credit for it. At the market, they're called Martha's Cookies.
You know, it's interesting. If you think about the food scene today, coming to embrace the Southern tradition as it has, I think it's what characterizes the food scene in North Carolina today. Having come of age after the, quote, New South, which was cities like Atlanta running away from their Southern heritage, right? I mean, then it was about exotic restaurants. Look, we have French food. We have Thai food. And in that second wave, you saw, again, chefs embracing Southernness. 1990 was a little bit before that, a little ahead of the curve. Did you find that was the kind of the beginning of people saying, we're not going to run away from our Southern cooking heritage?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, certainly, you know, we had, like I said, we had really good restaurants, and Bill Barker was here doing Magnolia Grill, and certainly he embraced the Southern heritage in his food. And you know, I feel like, it's like I said earlier, I feel like we've all kind of come full circle. And, you know, I think one thing that's allowed us to do that is having a community of great growers that back our restaurants and really have made our community such a food community. I feel like that's a lot of the reasons that we have so many good restaurants in Durham and Raleigh and Chapel Hill.
And it seems if one thing has really strengthened and grown since then is the connections. The farmers have always been here, the chefs and the creativity has always been around, but now the easy access and connection between the farmer, the restaurant, and the table seems to me a lot smoother.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, when I first opened, we had people coming to our back door. I remember there was an elderly lady that used to come and sell us what she called ugly tomatoes. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Barker was her name, and she would come with baskets of tomatoes, and they were the best tasting tomatoes, you know, and we would always buy her tomatoes, and they might have a little blemish in them, but they still tasted really good, and they were great for, like, making soup. And
well, and that bringing together of, you know, sort of all aspects of the food shed is something that, in a lot of ways, Foster's, I mean, I think it's something that's been important to you. Foster's is a gathering place, right?
Yeah, I say all the time, I feel like Foster's is one of those places that you can come by yourself and feel very comfortable, or you can come with a large group of people and stay as long as you like. I mean, it's really the kind of place that people go there. We have a lot of community tables. I think people go there to either meet people or to have business meetings. It's just it's an easy place to be.
Sarah Foster is the owner of Foster's Market in Durham, and has just published a cookbook, Foster's Market Favorites, the 25th Anniversary Collection. Sarah, thanks so much. Always great to talk with you.
You too. Thanks for having me.
You can find out more about Sarah and her new cookbook, Foster's Market Favorites, at our website, stateofthings.org. It is a program that is produced by Laura Lee, Anita Rao, Will Michaels, Charlie Shelton, and Andrew Tai. Robin Copley's our technical director. Robin Copley sitting in today. Brent Wolf is WUNC's news director. North Carolina, they looked confused just now when I said that. North Carolina Public Radio is a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. I'm Frank Stachow.